My dad has a 1968 Plymouth GTX. He loves that car. And growing up, we always heard stories about this fabled car. How he and his buddies made it one time to Fargo in under 2 hours. And our farm is well over 200 miles from Fargo. You can do the math. He didn't take the interstate either. It was all back roads. How he took mom on their first date in his GTX. But he wasn't worried about what he was going to wear or how he looked. He said it was his car that would impress her. The only problem is, as long as I remember, the GTX has been broken. Doesn't run anymore. Maybe ran those first 20 years, but now it just sits in the shop. It's broken. He saved it, but it still needs to be restored. It's my dad's dream these last couple decades. He talks about it all the time. To restore his 68 GTX. To bring it back to its old glory. To make it like new again. He saved it all these years, you know. He saved it when his wife, no longer enamored by it, wanted him to sell it. He saved it from the junkyard. But just because he saved it doesn't mean it's restored yet. The heart of the Ascension, the feast that we celebrate this morning, is about restoration. We were saved at Easter in the cross and the resurrection. We were saved. But you may have noticed we're still broken. The Ascension is about restoration. But why the Ascension? You know? Why didn't just Jesus stay here on earth in his resurrected body so everyone who doubts could come to believe through encountering him like Thomas did? You know, to put their hands in his side, to see him in his resurrected flesh, to touch him, to feel his physical presence. Why the Ascension? Why did Jesus have to ascend to heaven and take his resurrected body with him? The resurrection through which we're saved is not the final point. It's a point along the way, but the final point is total restoration. Behold, I make all things new. A new heavens, a new earth. So everything that's broken in sin might be restored. So that the kingdom of God, which is here now, might be established in its fullness. The apostles and the disciples, they knew this. They knew there was more here. And we hear in the Acts of the Apostles that Jesus presented himself alive to them by many proofs after he had suffered, appearing to them for the 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. So it makes sense, right? That here he is about to ascend, and they ask him, "Are you going to, at this time, now, restore the kingdom?" Or to put it into modern language, Jesus, are you going to now fix this broken world? You saved us, but are you now going to restore us? You've defeated death on the cross and the resurrection. You've won the victory, but are you now going to restore us? He basically tells them, you're asking the wrong question. It's not about when. When am I going to establish the kingdom? When am I going to restore? It's not about when. It's about who and how. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. The victory is won, but the world is still really, really broken. Anyone object to that observation? Anyone? That the world is really broken? It's still broken. So how is he going to fix it? How is he restoring it? Through you. Through his church. You. Nothing intimidating about that at all, is there? The goal is restoration. And he tells them, you are the ones who will do this. Not alone, but with my power. The Holy Spirit, the very life of God that you will receive at Pentecost. This power of the Holy Spirit, which Paul says in his letter to the Ephesians, that's the power that we receive, which was the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's the exceeding greatness of the power that we receive, is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. Why did Jesus have to ascend to heaven? So that he and the Father could send the Holy Spirit. So that we, the church, born at Pentecost, might participate in God's restoration of the broken world. Not just participate in a wee little bit, but participate in fully, entirely. He gives us his power, and we go out to all the world. He is the soul, we are the body. That sort of intimate participation. Jesus ascended so that he could be truly present now, flesh and blood present, not just in one physical place. Oh, here's Jesus in Jerusalem now. Now Jesus is in Galilee. Now Jesus is at the River Jordan. He ascended so that he could be present now, not just in one particular place, but through the ascension and Pentecost, he could be present to the ends of the earth. Through the ascension and the Pentecost, Jesus isn't leaving the earth. He's multiplying his presence in it by dozens, then hundreds, then millions, and now billions. You know the ascension scene? It's called the Great Commission, right? The great sending forth of the disciples. Think about that word, though, itself. Co-mission. Jesus is making us co-missionaries with him. In the restoration of the world, he's decided to work through you. So when you look at the broken world and you see horrible tragedies and you say, Jesus, Jesus, why won't you fix this? No. We're probably asking the wrong question. He's commissioned us. He's given us his power. How do we access that power? Through the sacraments, through the real power of prayer. It means our faith can't just be something passive. Otherwise, we're not disciples. Who are we fooling? We're not disciples if it's something passive. But to actively live my faith means having the humility to continually be turning to Him in the sacraments, in prayer, to receive His power, which gives me then the courage to be His presence in the world. And if I'm faithful to that, if you're faithful to that, God in His mysterious way has chosen that to be His path of restoration. He does crazy things like this. We knew God would send a Savior. He promised it. We knew He would send a Savior. We never expected that that Savior would become one of us. We knew somehow God would save us. He promised that. We didn't expect it would mean the cross. And we know that God is going to restore all of creation. We didn't ever expect that He would choose to depend on you, on us, to be His witnesses, His presence to the end of the world. It's incredible. He probably thinks a lot more highly of us than we do of ourselves. But don't be overwhelmed. He gives us as well the map to do this. He says in the Acts of the Apostles, you begin in Jerusalem, and then to Judea, and then to Samaria, and then to the whole world. Do you want to restore a broken world? It begins by going home and loving your family. It begins at your place of work. It begins in your community here in Dickinson. Why did Jesus need to ascend to heaven? So that He could be present in all of those places, flesh and blood present, in your family, in your work, in your community, right here in Dickinson. So that He could restore what He has saved, all of it, to the ends of the earth.